outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Drunken Obnoxious Concert Goer.
Mr. Drunken Obnoxious Concert Goer.
Oh, good. Now they can start the show. What would the live music experience be without you completely wasted, stumbling past us to your seat 20 minutes after the concert has started?
There's only one foot you didn't step on.
Awesome. Thanks for the beer shower.
I'll drive home smelling like a six-pack, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy singing songs he doesn't know the words to, while chugging gallons of beer and high-fiving anyone who makes eye contact, wipe his spit off your face and salute Mr. Drunken Obnoxious Concert Goer, a real American hero.
Mr. Drunken Obnoxious Concert Goer.
And stop waving that lighter around before you set someone's mullet on fire.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Thursday, July 22nd. Welcome to the show. We're live once again. Kara is all in purple.
It's actually a deep blue.
The deep blue?
Yeah.
Well, you must have washed it.
No, really? Okay, it's kind of purple. I guess it's called royal blue.
It's purplish.
You're such a boy.
You done with your donut?
I did. We have a guest in the studio we're about to bring in, but I didn't get my coffee this morning. I walk in, there's a big-ass box of donuts. Hear me out, people. I've been counting my calories.
Yeah, right.
I have, and this morning I had a damn apple for like the first time in ever because I don't like apples.
Really?
And it just didn't hit the spot. I was you suck.
Because you're not used to it, yeah.
No, I mean, I eat healthy, but I'm not into apples. Anyway,
yeah.
And I was like...
You need some carbs.
You know, let's not be the nutritional advisor. Let me just tell you how it works. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I threw down a little apple. I was not happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walk in... And our buddy Rob here has like a big pile of donuts. I'm like, well, it's go time.
Yeah.
It's go time. But no.
There you go.
I just ate that top half with all the icing on it. And then Sam was all like judgy. He's like, oh, you're the biggest, fattest ass donut with the most frosting on it.
Is that what I said? The biggest, fattest?
That's what you thought when I ate it.
Oh, I see. So now you know what I'm thinking.
I could tell your judgy thoughts.
Well, anyway, someone needs to judge you, right?
Whatever. The whole world judges you when you're an entertainer. They all have an opinion.
Yeah.
And they all think they could do a better job. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. So you brought us a guest in this morning. Good
yes.
morning to you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Kara, why don't you go ahead and introduce him?
Well, he's about 6'1". How tall are you?
6'1".
He's really? About 6'1". He's got
guess
a little...
the weight. Wait, what's the weight?
Oh, the weight. 180.
I'm 205.
Really?
Yeah.
What weight do you want to be?
He's a healthy man.
Yep.
Are you one of these? I want to be littler or bigger.
little or bigger. Are we talking about my weight still? You know.
Yeah. No.
About
I want to be bigger.
Oh, you want to be one of those beefed up dudes?
No, I don't. I'm fine.
Okay.
Cool.
He's happy. He's got good self esteem. Anyway, I met him at a comedy show. Super funny dude. And I was like, hey, you should come on the show. Come to find out, and he's actually on LA Talk Radio a lot on the Sean Green show.
Okay.
So I guess. There's something good there if you keep asking people on the show that already got like, I'm actually there 5 days a week. I'll come on in.
Yeah.
So,
I've actually done the show like twice, Sean Green show.
That's
really?
It?
Yeah.
That's
so it's not
cool.
all the time. So you might have been misinformed a little bit. So I could potentially really be bad to this morning, you know?
No, you're going
to
be good.
That's true.
He brought
are you
donuts.
A morning person?
No.
No,
not
huh?
really. No.
Usually comedians and entertainers are night people, right?
I guess so. I'm sort of like a midday guy.
I see.
I like to go for a jog, eat a tuna fish sandwich, you know, write a couple jokes.
Yeah, what time do you usually get up in the morning?
When I haven't been doing much lately, so I've been waking up at like 10:30, 11.
Really? Yeah. That's cool, man. How do I get that kind of life, man?
Well, you're pushing it, aren't you? Like, what time do you wake up now?
Nah, come on. I wake up like at 7:30, 8 o'clock.
That's better than it was.
Which is still good, yeah.
Which is better than it was.
Yeah,
it is. What was it before?
Like 6:30.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's for the birds, man.
That is. Let the birds do their thing.
Yeah.
Let the birds just chirp it up.
There you go.
Funny dude, so you're originally from?
I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. When did you move out here?
I came to L.A. 3 years ago, but I went to school in San Luis Obispo at Cal Poly. So I've been in California for about 6 years, mm-hmm. L.A. for three. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why'd That's you go to school cool. if you're going to do comedy?
I didn't know I was going to do comedy until my senior year of college.
Yeah.
What did you think you were going to be?
I thought I was going to be like a salesman.
Then why do you still go to college? You don't need to go to college.
Sell printing presses. I didn't know what I was going to do. I went to college, all right? And then I got into my senior year. I was just going with the flow. Hey, graphic communication. At first, I wanted to be a graphic artist. Then I realized I didn't want to sit in front of a computer. So I started taking graphic communication classes and printing stuff. And then I realized I want to be a comedian. That's what
happened. There you go. How'd you end up in San Luis Obispo?
California Polytechnic State University. Mm-hmm. It's the short name for the school. I just applied. I was in Brooklyn. I was going to school, and I was bored.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you, though. Way to, like, make it happen, and then it didn't happen, but still way to, like, get
So you picked a pretty laid-back town, and...
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I picked a pretty laid-back town. Yeah. I guess that's what I was going for, the change of pace, you know, because my whole life I lived in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But then when I got there, like, 6 months in, I was bored out of my mind, so I started rapping. Yeah. I started producing hip-hop shows. I got on the school radio station, and then I got on a school improv team. So, like, I did all that stuff in my time there because I was bored. I didn't do well in classes, but I wasn't really into classes. Right. I'm more of an extracurricular type of guy.
Classes.
Did you manage to graduate, though?
Yeah, I got the degree.
Good for you,
I got the degree, and since the state school, Arnold Schwarzenegger signed my degree. Come on, you can't beat that.
Can't beat that.
You got a joke degree and a joke governor signing it. You can't beat that. You know, it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's funny. So for those of y'all, he's a fun dude. He's cool. You're really laid back. And then I find out he has this crazy side to him, his crazy past.
Yeah.
And that...
Who told you that? Zach Sherwin, right?
Zach. You know where Zach we had on the show?
Uh-huh. MC Mr. Napkins.
Right,
he went off with about the aggressive B.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was like, ask them about their past because they used to, like, get into a lot of brawls. And anyway, it's funny because I don't see him in that light, but apparently he's, like, you know, used to rough people up and kill children.
Well, I almost got into a fight on Monday night. So I'm not looking for fights, but fights are looking for me. And sometimes, you know, when I do stand up, some of my jokes are a little more edgy, a little more aggressive, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not scared of it. So I made a black joke. It wasn't a bad black joke.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy who's half black now, which is, what, are you only half offended by the joke? You know, screw you for getting mad. But he sneaks up behind me, and he takes an empty can of PBR, throws it, hits me in the head, right?
Really?
But it wasn't like an aggressive, I want to fight throw. It was just like a playful, ha-ha, you're making a joke about me, and he throws it and hit my head. But I didn't see him throw it, so I just thought a dude chucked something in my head. So I put down the mic like every stand-up comedian would do, and I picked up the can, and I jumped off the stage, and I threw it back at the dude.
Really?
And I thought...
Wow.
I missed him. I was throwing righty. I did like a righty lob toss. I'm a lefty, so if I would have just switched hands, but I did like a righty lob toss. But I also missed him because when he saw me jump off the stage, he charged me. Now, this dude is like 3 inches taller than me and in much better shape than I am, and I kind of got nervous for a second. I didn't expect him to be all about fighting.
And this is all in the middle of the show, right?
In the middle of the show.
Watching
There's
everything.
No show happening. I was the show at that point in time, and the stage was empty. So he charges me, and I turn around, and I feel him like pushing on my back and stuff, so I grab an empty glass mug, and I hold it up, and then he looks at me, he's like, make a move, make a move, and I'm holding the mug there and thinking like, what am I going to do, am I going to hit him with this mug, and then he's like, make a move, so I put the mug back down and got back on stage, and that was it,
good
he walked
you,
away,
man.
That was the right move.
It takes some creativity to get out of a fight too, you know?
Yeah.
Good I feel for like you. For men, and I don't know this because obviously I'm not a man, but that I think there's such a lot of pride and then a lot of like the masculinity starts to pump and then the adrenaline. And then it's like all logic goes out the window and you're like, now it's this primal pheromone that's going to fight.
Yeah.
And like whose pheromone?
The older you get, the less that has control of you.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a lot of testosterone too, you know. I mean, I don't know why it's like that, but if you notice sometimes with male dogs, it's the same thing, you know. They're also
very
like
similar.
They hate each other.
Well, I think what happens is there's almost like the animal side comes out, and trying to slow that part of you down is a lot harder You know, you're like, the other guy's like,
Everybody tries to show he's stronger and meaner and,
you know. Then you said you thought the dude was gay?
Well, I wanted to be the bigger man and and just go and apologize or, I don't know, just go and make up with him. So I went and I talked to him and I found out, like, we both, like, do the same workout routine. We were both in the Air Force. Like, we had a lot in common, me and this guy. We should not have been fighting. We should have been hanging out. But as I was talking to him, I realized he was there with, like, one other guy and they weren't drinking. They were just kind of having a deep conversation in the back and he was kind of lighting the loafers, and I think I almost got beat up by a gay dude.
Really?
I do.
Well, that would have been some kind of an honor, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the dude was in the Air Force, so he's not like, he's not just sitting around as a makeup artist. He was, he knows how to do something, right?
Yeah. He fixed hydraulics and I fixed ComNav, and so we probably might have worked on a plane one day together. So.
That's so funny.
But that also goes to show, guys, that they are in the military. They're out there. Over your shoulder.
There you go.
How was the Air Force?
The Air Force was good. It was something I did to get away from drugs and gangs in New York.
Oh, really?
That's what I did,
So how old were you when you...
19.
Really? 19?
Yep, I went at 19.
And what did you do there? I mean, anything confidential?
I did communication navigation systems. I scored high on the test, so they gave me a boring job.
There you go.
I just fixed avionics systems and... The only place, I've been to a bunch of places in the United States, but overseas I went to Bulgaria for the whole Iraq.
Really?
Yeah. So like the Marines actually went to Iraq and the Air Force gets halfway there. We go to Bulgaria and we wave at the war from across an ocean.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you like it or did you want to be in Iraq?
It was good because I worked the system. That's a New York thing. You always get as much as you can out of every situation. So I worked the system. I got every penny I could get out of them. Mm-hmm. I got health insurance, free health insurance right now for the rest of my life.
Right.
And I got my education almost totally paid for. When I went away for training, I was in the reserves. So I went away for a year and a half. And when I came back, I got on full unemployment. So I was getting like $400 a week. Mm-hmm. Plus my GI bill was like $700 a month to go to school. Mm-hmm. Plus I was poor enough that the federal government was paying for all of my tuition.
Really?
So I was making like $600-$700 a week, no job.
Really?
And I was setting my school up
you
so that
sure
I would only go
the
to
system,
school.
Man. You figured it out.
Yeah, I went to school 2 days a week, and that's it.
That's
I made
some
more
ambition,
money
man.
Yeah.
Really?
That's a major ambition.
I guess so. Yeah. It's
ladies, he's single. Get on this wagon.
If you want a guy who wakes up at 11 a.m. and has barely enough money to spend on gas.
Exactly. And knows how to screw the system.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got friends that know the ins and outs of stuff. And I'm like, I look at them sometimes like, how and why do you know this information? They're like, here's what you do. What you do is you go down and fill out this form. And they just have elaborate plans for things. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I know a lot about that stuff, like getting insurance money, getting food stamps when you don't deserve them. Come talk to me. Yeah, all right? If you guys got $50, I'll teach you how to get food stamps and an insurance scheme. Just holler at Rob.
Yeah, there you go.
Really?
Cool. Yeah, I swear to God. Promise you.
So I just wanted to say in a few minutes we're going to have a guest calling in. And she's going to talk about healing with horses, which I thought was very interesting, you know. So we'll see what that is all about, you know. Is that funny?
I've seen a few horse videos in my day.
Yeah.
It's just funny the way we're transitioning. You're like, and we're going to talk about
Well, I just want to prepare you before.
No, you're right. It's a good preparation. I feel a lot more prepared.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, I do. I feel like I can handle it now.
I guess I should let you know about guests the day before.
Yeah, I mean, I see it on the calendar. Before. I guess I should look into it.
Yeah, I suppose. You can look up anybody today, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I could. Healing with horses. I want to know how that works.
Yeah.
They look sweet.
It sounds pretty good. I mean, you know, she deals with kids, with sick kids and stuff. So it sounds pretty interesting.
There's like a horse ranch by my house where there's, you know.
Horses.
Yeah. But a ranch.
No.
But,
get out of here.
But it's like a ranch, and it's like a hiking, you know. So I go hiking, and it's like a major hiking thing. But these horses take some massive shits.
Yeah, they do.
And they just straight up totally, you know, jack up the trail because it's like, you know, you're not just getting to hike. You're having to like, you know, strategically put your feet in places. And I think they should invent bags where they have to actually
clean up. They have them. They have bags they put on the dogs, the horses' butts.
Well,
really?
they weren't rocking that.
In New York, the cop horses, they have bags on their butts. So
oh, really?
All over the place.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy who has to clean that out at the end of the day, though. That's the down point. But hey, you know, it creates a job.
Well, okay, so what was a New York life like? You said that you wanted to get away. What, did you grow up on the streets? Were you slinging rock at the age of three? I mean, what's going on? Do you make it?
What did I do? I didn't have to do the things I did. I chose to be bad, but I went to Catholic school my whole life, and then I was one of those people who was like, you know, don't do this, don't do that. Heard it for so many years that I just flipped out and went nuts.
Yeah.
So then I started doing, selling drugs, and then got into like a gang, writing graffiti and all that stuff.
Really got into gang? Yeah. Did they have to jump you to get in?
No, they robbed me though before I got. because it was in the 90s in the New York and probably the whole country, definitely the East Coast rave scene, club scene. It was the beginning of like real heavy drugs in the club scene, and people were started selling fake drugs. So that's what we did. When I was a kid, I sold weed. That was my first real job. And I would just ride around New York on a skateboard selling weed. So then when I finally had enough money to buy 100 pills of ecstasy, I went to go buy 100 pills, and this gang sold me fake ecstasy.
Really?
So I got 100 fake pills. So now it's me and these three other guys who were doing this together, and we're like, what are we going to do? So we go to the rave, and we sell the 100 fake pills one at a time. Mm-hmm. We still made our profit. So from that moment on, we would only sell fake drugs. It was like, why even invest in real drugs, you know? Because we're not going to get arrested. Yeah. There was no lookalike laws at that point. And you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
That's hysterical, though. Like, what a way to, like, there he goes working that system. Go on, though.
So, you know, as we're doing this, we're going out, but we're not protected. There's just three of us, and there's a gang that runs the whole thing. And they robbed us, you know, a couple times and just, you know, threw us up against the wall, went through our pockets and stuff like that, trying to find our drugs. And they robbed us a couple times before we finally got in and got protection.
Wow, yeah.
So then you got in with the people that robbed you.
Yeah. The guy who got me in was Paulie Porkchops.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Paulie Porkchops was his name, and then he was an old friend that was in the gang, and he was like, you know, just go out and tell people you're selling for me, and at the end of the night, we'd throw him like $50 a piece of what we made, you know? Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, were they nice? Did y'all become friends?
No, I wouldn't say that anyone was ever really nice to each other, but we just didn't fight each other. It was one of those volatile things. I would think like a pack of wolves or hyenas or something, you know? Like, everyone's out for themselves. Like, even if you invited everyone over your house, you still gotta watch them. Like, lock up your valuables. Yeah. You know, there have been times where you find someone looking through a drawer or something. Like, it was not nice people, but we were crazy. We would have rather been those crazy people than a normal person, I guess.
Well, let me interrupt for just a second. We'll go back to that, but I want to get our call here and our guest. Good morning to you. You're on the air. Is this Heather?
This is Heather.
Heather, good morning to you. This is Heather Green, and you're calling us from where?
From Ventura, California.
Oh,
beautiful.
Ventura.
So
yeah. Yeah, definitely beautiful country out there. And I guess there are a lot of horses out there, huh?
Yes, there are.
Yeah. So I found what you do very interesting, very fascinating. For everybody that wants to follow, Heather's website is Teal, T-E-A-L, healing.com. And pretty interesting stuff. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What is it that you do, Heather?
I'm an energy healer and intuitive for people, animals, and nature. Mm-hmm. So what I do is use my intuitive abilities to look at a situation, a question, a concern, could be on a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, or energetic level for any being. And I look at it intuitively, you know, using my psychic abilities, my third eye, my ears, my heart, my other senses, and see what's going on. I scan their energy field, and then I work with energy to help clear out any blocks or anything that's in the way on any level of their being.
Wow.
So I work a lot with sacred geometry, and I also work with the higher self of those beings to help heal and clear.
What's sacred geometry? That sounds interesting.
Yeah, these are geometric shapes that are in ones that you can bring into one's energy field. They're universal energy that are infused with specific vibrations that clear out a specific area. So most of the time I just call upon the appropriate ones in the appropriate number, and they come in when they need to. Within the modality I work in, which is crystalline consciousness technique, there are specific healing chambers that I use that I'll call on. And usually I muscle test on those to see which ones a being needs. But often you can just ask for the appropriate ones to come in when they need to, because right now with the big shift going on in the planet, the energy is here to help us. We have this healing, amazing healing energy on our planet. So we just ask. It's through our intent, you know, and our focus. And we just call upon what we need to come in, and it'll come in for us
right.
if we need it. So,
what about the horses?
What? Well, yeah, you do go back to the horses.
No, I want to know how the horses work out.
Okay, go ahead. Because she said she deals with animals.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to hear this.
You're a what?
I was excited to hear about the horses. That's all.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. The horses, I mean, I do the same thing with the horses. I work with them in the same way I work with people because they have an energy field, too, and they have their aura is the same as far as they have a physical body, then a mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic, and there's many other layers in there that I don't name because there's so many.
Right.
Same with nature. I work the same way with nature because nature has energy, too. But the other thing I do with horses is I actually facilitate horses helping humans because this is something new going on the planet, too, is that the animals are trying to role model to us the right energetic stance that we need to move forward in our evolution. And particularly with horses, they have an amazing ability to help people ground. You know, they have their four legs on the earth all the time, so they're very grounded. They have a huge presence. You can't miss it. They're always in the present moment as prey animals. You know, they have to always be aware of what's going on every moment because that's how they survive. So they can teach us that, and they have a huge non-judgmental, I mean, they have big hearts, both physically and metaphorically. So they have this amazing ability to hold safe space for us in a way that humans, I don't think, can, just because, you know, we have a little bit of judgment there. I don't think the horses have that aspect. They just see us for who we are.
Can I just clarify for 1 second? Do you heal humans and horses and then use horses to heal humans with nature, or do you just use horses to heal humans?
I do all of the above.
yeah,
so there's so many different ways to work with them. But with
have you ever worked with other animals, like dogs? Because I got a crazy German Shepherd in my house, true story. And it barks like crazy. It's not happy. Its owner is kind of not happy either. How do I fix this situation?
Yeah, you need to take him, introduce him to a horse maybe, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I do work with dogs and cats, too. I mean, I'm an animal communicator, so I work with all animals. But horses are my great love, and they're the ones that called me into this work, so that's why I talk about them a lot. And dogs and cats can help people, too. It's just that horses are so much bigger, they get their point across. You know, you can't miss it. It's like they're right there. They're in your face. So, you know, the energy gets relayed.
Well, it sounds like you got a great gift. When did you discover you have this?
I've been doing energy work in some, you know, different forms for the last 3 to 5 years. I've been working as a nurse for 12 years. Then I did counseling. I went into counseling and was doing that with people and realized something was missing. And that's when I started having all these dreams about horses. And the horses were telling me in my dreams what I needed to do. I mean, they gave me specific instructions. You know, you need to study this and you need to learn this. And so I was like, okay, I didn't really understand. I was really surprised. I was thinking, okay, I didn't think I was going to do anything with horses.
What are some of your big heels, you know, like a kid come in with leukemia or something and boom, you cleared that up? Or like you ever have someone, like what's like when you really hit a home run, knocked it out of the park, healing somebody?
A person or an animal?
How about one of each?
Okay, well, horses, I mean, I've had horses that have been really abused and who would never trust again, and I did work with a horse once, and really, it's the simplest thing. It's really just that unconditional love and nurturing that I helped the horse with and spending time and just clearing out all the layers of trauma because it goes way back. It's usually even beyond this lifetime with a particular horse that had a lot of trauma to his head and neck. He was severely abused by other humans. He had been killed in other lifetimes, beheaded and slaughtered. And so I worked with him through all those layers and cleared that out. And he's a lot more trusting now. But it still takes time. You know, trust is the biggest thing that takes time to repair.
Right.
For humans, I'm trying to think. I've done so many different things with people. Usually people are a work in progress, especially with spiritual. Most of the people I attract in are wanting to stay on their path spiritually, trying to think. So they want to keep working on things. But I have helped a few people with their relationships. I've had a couple people whose marriages were on the rocks, and now they're so much better after doing energy work. They're right on with their relationships.
Right.
And that's just one aspect. I mean, like I said, it works on so many different levels and layers. So.
Right. Now, how long does it usually take? I mean, you know, I would imagine, like you said, trauma can last a long time and stuff. How long does it take to do such healing?
Healing? Well, every situation is so different, you know, and every person has a different issue, you know, that they want to work on. And, you know, some things you can work on a couple sessions and it's gone. You know, I've helped people who were having treatment with cancer and they went through the traditional, you know, having surgery and all that. And then I did energy work with them and they're doing great. I had a woman, I only did a couple sessions.
Right.
Doing awesome. But she also did, you know, the traditional treatment.
Mm-hmm. Whoops.
You there?
Yeah, we're having some problem with the phone.
Oh, you are? You
probably knew that, though, because
you're psychic. Go ahead and repeat that. Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, you know, I have other people a spiritual path, and they want to keep growing and learning, and so they want to keep coming back for more sessions because they get more information each time, and they clear different things. They clear stuff.
Yeah, we're losing it.
You know, pain, whatever, and then the next time they're dealing with their confidence, or the next time they're dealing with a relationship with their husband, or, you know what I mean? So it's like everything, it just comes up differently.
Yeah.
So physical problems tend to take the longest. If someone has a physical problem like diabetes or chronic fatigue or, I don't know, you know, something like that, because by the time it's in the physical body, you know, it's more dense. It's not in the other layers of your energy field.
Right.
You're like a ball.
Yeah.
Like I said, it also is that person's soul and their timing when they're ready to let something go. Because really, I'm just a facilitator. They're the one doing the work.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, Heather Green, the website is Teal, T-E-A-L, TealHealing.com. And can people contact you by phone as well?
Yes. My website has my phone and my email address, which either one you can do.
Okay.
And also... July 31st, I'm doing a horse in workshop.
July 31st, a horse workshop? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Because you were cutting
out.
Yep,
it's a horse healing.
I see.
Now, are you
going to
heal humans with those horses, or are you going to heal horses with other horses, or just horses with nature? Which one is that going to be?
You keep asking the same thing.
Well, she does a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I do. No, this one is the one where the horses heal the people, and I'm just a facilitator. But I'll also teach people how to do animal communication, so if they want to learn how to connect to their animal,
awesome.
Okay. Communicate better. I'm going to teach that in that workshop. And then I'm also having another workshop August 14th, which is just an energy workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to teach, I'm going to bring in energetic protocols that people can use in their everyday life to help them shift, especially during these healing transformational times, because it's a really intense time right now on the planet. So
yeah.
I'm doing that.
Well, it definitely
so
feels
on
like
my website.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Heather, well, very fascinating stuff, you know, and I know you work with children as well and stuff, so everybody go to the website and check it out more. Heather, all the best to you. Thank you so much, and very fascinating.
Yeah.
Again, thank you for giving us the time this morning.
I'm going to be there on the
31st. Thank you for having me.
Okay, the best to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I always disconnect them when they say bye-bye. I don't know why I do
you're
that.
Like, and we're done. And
yeah,
we're
it's
back
like
to...
the finger on the trigger, you know?
You're not big into salutations. That's all good.
Yeah, I guess. So going back to your gangs, your gang days.
So,
let's segue to the gangs.
Hilarious. It sounds a lot worse than it actually is. We're just young kids having fun. But then, you know, I did that for a while and then went into the military. And then came back, did more drugs.
Yeah.
Went crazy.
Wow.
My dad and both my brothers are trying to be cops.
Oh, they were?
My dad's a cop, and my little brother's a cop, and my other little brother's trying to be a cop.
Wow.
And then you were like, were they all trying to arrest you, or how did that work out?
He was
no,
the disgrace of the family.
You know, I'm the fun one. I'm the guy who could keep a secret.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, I mean, did you ever go to jail or anything? Did you ever get caught?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, yeah.
I got arrested a bunch of times. Actually, but in New York, you would just get arrested for graffiti or possession or something. You go in overnight, and then you get out, go to court. You never – it's you know, New York is actually not crazy like California putting people in jail.
Really?
Yeah, it's much easier to stay out of jail. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, because, you know, they only put, like, real crackheads and crack dealers in jail and murderers and stuff.
Right.
So they kind of like a kid with weed or some other minor drug is not going to go to jail.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I did a couple of nights here and there. But actually, the longest I ever did was 4 nights up in San Luis Obispo, punching a dude in the face.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So for all the stuff I ever did in New York,
right.
The longest amount of jail was here in California for punching a guy in the face.
Really? Yeah.
Now, did you just feel like hitting him, or was it a fight?
No. All right, here's a story.
Yeah. What I don't understand is how you get into all these fights if you smoke pot. I thought it makes you very mellow, no?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I thought it, you'd be like too hungry.
Mix it with other things. You're always on guard if you're selling something.
Though, yeah, right? I guess you're right. Yeah.
You can't. If even if someone says something, you gotta overreact because you don't want anyone to think that you're a target.
Yeah. So go on. So you started telling us with the guy that
so
you
basically,
got to a fight.
So basically, I'm in California. I haven't been in a fight in like 2 years. You know, I'm trying to do the straight and narrow thing and not do all that stuff. No drugs, nothing. I'm pretty much cleaned up. But I'm doing comedy.
Yeah.
So comedy gets me a lot of fights.
So you're not that cleaned up.
I go to a party, right?
Uh-huh.
And I go to this – it's a frat party, right? But it's like a mixed racial, mixed sexuality frat. Whatever. All good. I'm partying. I'm drinking. I'm having fun. I'm talking to girls. Then I see this one girl sitting on the stoop, and she's like crying and stuff. So I go up to her, talk to her, find out that her gay best friend now has a new girl that he hangs out with.
Uh-oh.
So I'm trying to make her feel better, and I'll be like, oh, don't worry. You know, fag hags are like Gucci purses. You were perfect that year, but now he's got to move on to a newer model. I'm just making I'm making these jokes. People are laughing, you know what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden, this gay dude comes behind me, grabs me by my shoulders, turns me around. He says, I'm gay and I don't appreciate your jokes. And I was like, all right, don't listen then. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with gay people. I don't have a problem with you. I'm just making jokes. And he's like, no, screw you. You won't get out of my face. So I had, you know, had a couple of drinks. So I'm like, listen, if you don't get out of my face, I'm going to punch you in your face, dude. And he gets back in my face. And so I grab him by his neck and I throw him. And then he comes back at me and I punch him in his face. He starts crying, all right? Which is not the reaction that I want to hear. He starts crying, so I'm like, oh, now everyone hates me because I just made this dude cry in front of everyone. And it was like, he was in my face. I warned him. So I'm walking away. I'm like, all right, I got to leave this whole party altogether, right? I'm walking away from the party, and he gets on the phone with 911. And then he starts talking. He starts reporting me to 911, calling it in. So I turn around, and I was so mad that he was going to call 911 on a fight that he was at least 50% started. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to him, and basically his phone conversation was like, hello, I've just been assaulted by a man wearing a blue t-shirt, and he just hit me again! And I hit him twice while he was on the phone with 911. he hit me again! Yeah. And then I went away, and like, I didn't get arrested that night, but I got a letter in the mail from the DA like 3 months later. And say show up to court for battery and fighting in public.
Really?
Yeah. And when I got to court, they had the transcript of the 911 call. Yeah. So it was like it was documented that I punched him in the face twice while he was on the phone with 911. And that's some Brooklyn shit.
So they can do this. They don't have to arrest you first.
Don't have to arrest you first.
Really?
Because the cops just took a report and they had my name and all my information because people knew me at the party.
Mm.
So they gave it to the DA. The DA looks over the report and says, "Can I prosecute? Can I win this case?" Because the DA will only take a case he knows he can win.
Right.
You know because he wants. You know, it's like an assistant DA who wants to become a DA. So he's got to win his cases.
Right.
So he's like, "Hey, I could win this. The guy was gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dude fled the scene after the fight. He hit him while he was on 911. I'll win this case, no problem."
Really?
So they took the case and sent me a letter, showed up to court.
Wow.
That's really freaking funny.
So how did it end up?
I went to court, so then I had, like, my cousin is a lesbian, so I had her write a letter saying that I don't have anything against gay people, which I don't. I didn't hit him because he was gay. I hit him because he was an asshole. And then I had, like, my improv team sign a letter saying that I was, like, you know, I'm not, like, an offensive person, that I'm actually cool with everyone. And then I got with my court-appointed representation, and he talked him down from 15 days to 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 days becomes 7 days because of overcrowding. And then when I went in for 7 days, and the lady who was checking me in the court and doing my paperwork was from Brooklyn, and I chatted her up for like 15 minutes, and then when I got my paperwork, it said 4 days. I don't know if it was so overcrowded that they bumped it down to 4 days again, or because I was from Brooklyn, I chatted her up that she put it down to 4 days. But
from Brooklyn, got my little chats on, got a digit, said, yo, girl, hit me up.
I'll be out 4 days, you know what I'm saying?
I'm
this is a temporary thing.
I'm going to take you to a lobster dinner at the Sizzler. That's so freaking funny, man.
I love Sizzler.
Yeah. So what was Jay like? I mean, you're only there for a few days, right?
It was boring. I was in a giant room with bunk beds with a bunch of other crazy dudes and some normal people. And I was in an orange jumpsuit and flip-flops, and I sat there and I watched Andrew Dice Clay movies. And
then you have the toilet right there, huh? How do you take a shit with people around you
like that? Well, they had like a big bathroom with like 5 toilets and showers in it. So like, you know, we kind of went one at a time.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Like if you're in a cell with another dude, you just do it. You just take a shit. That's
right.
it, you know?
Wow.
But we went one at a time, and like when you're in there, the guys who are in there for doing a bid, you only get a clean clothes, a change of clothes once a week. Mm. So the guys would only shower on the day the clean clothes would show up. Because wow. you wear your same underwear for 7 days.
Wow.
So on Monday,
and everybody stinks like crazy.
I don't.
But if you're not working out and you're just hanging out, hopefully you're.
You're not allowed to work out in the jail that I was in.
Oh.
You're only allowed out 1 hour a day, right? And you're not allowed to work out. You get in trouble for working out. They want you to just be fat and lazy and slobby.
Really?
They don't want you to be jacked up and working out.
That's so weird, man.
Yeah.
4 days. Did you make any friends?
I'd be scared as hell.
Yeah, I mean. The thing about jail is, like, I made friends, but were they better drug connections? Like, you don't go into jail and come out cured. You go in and have better connections when you come out. But there was one dude who had devil horns tattooed to his head in the front. And he was a complete psycho, and he got out a day before me, which shows you how the system works. You know, this guy's got devil horns tattooed to his head, but he's all good. He's back in the world.
That's freaking funny, man. Oh, yeah. Man. So, but other than the other night with another gay dude, about to beat you up. You've been
that
doing
might have
good.
Been my payback. Yeah, I don't want to get in any fights. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Peace and love and all that bullshit.
Yeah. That's funny. So, but your jokes aren't that offensive, are they?
I don't. You know, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't try to be offensive on purpose.
You talk about not liking kids.
Yeah. The joke that I said that the guy wanted to beat me up was that I have a brother who's having trouble becoming a cop. Because he's colorblind, and I was like, well, that's crazy. It's not like he's going to accidentally arrest a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what the color of guilt is.
That's bad.
And then he threw a bottle
at
my head.
Yeah, but that's commentary. I mean, he's right, you know?
It's not like I'm being offensive on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
If anything, I'm seeing it from the point of view of a black guy. I was like, yeah, he's right. He's, you know, he won't arrest a white guy, you know?
Right, yeah. No, that's true. I mean, that's like commentary on reality, you know?
Yeah, but that's too sensitive.
Yeah.
So being out in LA and blah, versus, you know, all your other places, how are you liking it?
Oh man, LA is
Cuz you live in Venice Beach, it's different.
Yeah, it's a love-hate relationship. Sometimes I love it and it always hates me, LA. You know, like when I'm sitting in traffic, I'm done. There's times where I'm in traffic where I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to the airport. I'm not going where I was originally going. I'm going to the airport, I'm going back to New York. I'm done. LA's hell.
Yeah.
You know? But I like living in Venice and I'm here for the business, so
Yeah.
What about people? Are you meeting cool people?
Nah, not really.
Whatever, loser. You're totally meeting cool
Kara
people.
Kara was cool when I met her. That's it.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of cool comics.
You know, the cool people, black dudes from L.A. are always real cool with me. Other people from New York are always really cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently people from Texas are cool with me, too.
There you go.
Whatever. So what's going on? Are you dating lots of ladies? How's that working out? Are you flexing those comedy muscles? And then
I'm on like a month and a half drought right now. I got out of a relationship like 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
You did you really? How long was it?
It depends on who you're asking. It was 6 months for me, a year for her. We dated for 6 months before, and she thought we were together, and then finally she was like, are we together at the 6 month point? And I was like, all right, let's be together. And then, so for me, the relationship started at the 6 month point.
Right, right.
For her, it was...
What was it before that time that it started?
It was awesome. It was getting laid all the time without having a girlfriend.
Yeah,
it was going out on dates, but being able to not go out on dates whenever you wanted to.
Yeah.
That's funny.
There you go. That's what guys want, you know?
Give me the
freedom.
I'm not shocked.
You're not shocked.
No.
The problem
We're not trying to shock you.
The problem is when you finally make it official, then they feel like it's cool for them to just come over whenever they want and stay for 4 days, that you don't get sick of them or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool for them to go to Vegas and you automatically have to watch the cat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's stuff like that. Like, if we're not dating, they would ask other people, and this guy that they're dating who they're still trying to impress would be the last guy that they ask to babysit the cat. But when you're the boyfriend, you're the first person to babysit the cat. Take out the trash, you know what I'm saying? Do the dishes. Like, don't cook me dinner and then force me to do the dishes. I don't want dinner that bad.
Well, you gotta
you know
make yourself.
I don't want dinner that bad.
Gotta make yourself useful, you know. You can't just sit back.
When I cook dinner, I do the dishes.
Oh, you do? That's good.
I do them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's good.
You know,
because it's a gift. Because you're doing something nice. For
right. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. It's like, you know. It's like.
I got you. No, that's nice.
So are you like able to make a living doing comedy and stuff?
No.
Barely. Huh?
Not now. Not yet. Yeah. Almost there.
Do you do to survive? Do you do anything else?
I do commercial art department stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I worked on a bunch of commercials you probably saw, and I was the guy who lifted the furniture in the room. That's what I did. That's my contribution to it. Yeah. But it's good. Okay, it's so union. It's good money. And I work for 2 weeks and take a month off most of the time.
Right. So is that like a regular thing or?
It's gig work. You know, yeah. When it comes up, you know, there's stuff going on. So, yeah. You know, I get money when I can. I'm fine. I'm not hurting right now. I'm not broke.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
That's cool. I don't think I could ever live like not knowing where the next dollar is going to come from.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, people in entertainment, that's their life, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kara knows.
You get broken after Kara a while. You give that. Up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You got to be persistent and strong, man. Otherwise, I don't think I could survive like that.
I think you're fueled by what you believe in, your passion, and if you didn't, it's just like what you love what you do. And so you said it's hard work, but it doesn't feel like hard work because you love what doing it.
Yeah, but it pays, you know?
Yeah, then whatever. My point is,
then whatever.
You know, you've got to have something that is bigger than you that you believe in.
Yeah.
You got to have dreams, Cyan. You ain't got no dream, you ain't got
no. No, you got to have dreams, but you got to be on the ground as well, you know? You got to pay the bills.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
but you don't like to hear that.
Well, no, it's not I don't like to hear it. I don't disagree with you. I just think that it's a different lifestyle. It's apples and oranges. Like, you've never lived this lifestyle, and you don't have mm-hmm. the same passion, so you don't relate.
Right.
Which is, I live my life like bang your head through the wall. Shout out Kobe Damp, Poverty Comedy. That's my writing partner. We just live our life like bang your head through a wall. Like, we'll run a red light with no insurance and no license and no registration. You know what I mean? We'll go to the bank and purposely overdraft our bank account $200 just to go out one night. Like, you can't live life scared. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to just do it. Bang your head through a wall. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sounds good.
That's funny. Well, I have a really good friend, Brian, and we all went out for a friend's birthday, and we just had so much fun, and we went to this, like, cute little place, went dancing, got a drink on. And he's like, Kara, he's nuts, right? He's like, Kara, he's like, only money I have in my pocket is my electric bill. And he's like, shit, screw it. So he starts buying drinks for the screw birthday it. Girl. And then we're out in the patio smoking, and he's kind of one of these people that they don't have a real objective view of themselves, how other people see him, which is kind of beautiful because it's innocent. But he's like crazy. He's like crazy having fun. We're just dancing around a patio, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he's like flicking it in other guys' ashtrays, not noticed. And they're all looking at him like, who's this guy in my table area flicking his, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. He doesn't care. So he's like flick, smoke, whatever. He looks around. He goes, Kara, we're so blessed. And I said, what do you mean, Brian? He's like, because, you know, we're happy. He says, girl, I don't even care. He's like, I have a dollar in my bank account. I'm going out. He's like, screw it. Let the pink slip come.
Well, that's the thing. Tell your friend with the electric bill, you get 2 pink slips, then a door warning before they shut it off. So he's good for like 3 more months.
Yeah, well, he's just like, you know, let the pink slip come. It's funny, man. I mean, I just think it's just a different lifestyle for a different purpose.
If you can handle it, then more power to you, you know? That's what I say.
So I think I told you my high school reunion's this year, okay? And
I didn't get invited to mine.
You didn't, really?
No, I don't know what happened.
they can find it. That's
fucking
funny.
Drug dealer. We don't want him in the party.
Really? Do you think you didn't purposely get invited, or you think they just couldn't find you?
I wouldn't have went anyway. High school was a bad time for me.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird time for me. It's kind of like purgatory. Not that I've ever been there, but, you know, I'd imagine similar. Yeah. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't amazing. It was like, man, when can I get out, was the feeling. So anyway, I submitted to them. They were looking for ideas for things to do. And I said, hey, I'll come and do a comedy show, and I want to do a roast awards. Like, who was really the most likely to succeed? Who had the most babies? You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
All that kind of stuff, and like really funny awards. But it would be all jokes, nothing too below the belt, but really funny. Well, anyway, so they totally took me up on it. So I'm going to be hosting this big like comedy show for my high school reunion, and I'm really excited. I'm going to come out in the mascot, which is a big gator. Yeah. I'm like, you know, like a real big like alligator, full-blown suit. And you guys know the song. Well, you probably wouldn't know it, Sam, but it's like, you know, baby, let me love you down. Anyway, I'm going to have that song on. I'm going to have a pimp stick and everything and lots of big glasses and be in this gator suit. It's going to be
so
awesome.
This is like official? You're going to MC or what?
Yeah, it's going to be really funny. I'm making really funny jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like the cheerleader that just was funny. That's like your style.
But no, I wasn't a cheerleader, though.
Because you're too funny.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I mean, I didn't really do the chiller thing. I did a lot of music, and, you know, I was on swim team for a quick second, and I was like, this shit is hard.
Yeah.
I did it for 2 years, and it was ridiculous.
It's good to not do things that are hard. Just quit right away.
Well, you know, that's one
yeah,
way
to look hard,
at it.
Yeah, why work hard,
well, that's one way to look at it. I did theater. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those times where I started hanging out with I moved in with my aunt, and then she had a lot of, like, adult friends, and I was like, I'm an adult. This is bullshit. I don't need high school. And so it was one of those I want to be out of high school type vibes.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun, you know, to kind of go back. And for me, it's not just revisiting people I went to high school. It's like always going back into a total different world of like small town, you know. Not that everybody still lives in a small town, but it's that, you know, more like normal life.
Yeah, I think you'll have fun.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, these things sound like fun to me.
Sometimes people want to be out here, and sometimes when you're out here, you're like, what's it like having a house? What's it like? You know what I mean? You're like, what is it like? You're like married with kids. Not that I really want that right now, but... Uh-huh. They're all kitted up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Tons of kids, because I'm getting all the info on them.
Mm-hmm.
Kid.
Yeah.
I don't want a kid just because I don't want to get a job.
That's funny.
Okay, that's a good reason.
But, you know, I'm going to have one by accident. I know how my life's going to go, and I'm going to either get a kid or genital warts, one or the other.
Ew.
Yeah. They're both accidental. They're both with you for life.
You could get both, you know.
2-for-1 deal.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know, you use protection, right?
I haven't got laid in a long time, so.
Yeah, that's good protection. You're ready strapped for success right now.
Yeah.
That's funny. So do you get the girls after comedy going, hey, Rob, what's up? Hey, I really think you're like crazy and shit.
It's happened before, but it's not a common occurrence. You got the most of the places that I do. That I do comedy in are where like guys will fight you and throw bottles at you, so there's not a lot of girls that want to really talk to you. But it's happened before. They call them chuckle fuckers, and they've been around.
Yeah. They call them what?
Chuckle fuckers.
Ew.
Makes sense. Sounds reasonable.
Well, it's funny because like comics aren't like rock stars, where it's like you know, the girls are like, they have a different, the fan base for comedy isn't the same kind of, you know.
No.
So it's always interesting to kind of find out like. Who tries to work that angle? Like, hey, I'm a comedian, you know?
When I was like a nobody wannabe rapper, I got more groupies.
Did you?
Yeah, definitely. Because music, it's so many more groupies.
Yeah,
than
they like music for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where can people find you? Where do you usually perform?
On Monday, I'm going to be at the Warehouse in Marina Del Rey, Warehouse Restaurant. And it's it's a military night, so I'll do some military jokes. And where else am I going to be at?
Your poverty comedy place, right? West Side?
That show's done because somebody dropped the N-bomb on stage in front of like 20 black guys.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it wasn't 20. It was 5. It was bad, though, because it was the N-bomb with the ER at the end.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's not good. So what about where's your website or the Facebook?
PovertyComedy.com or RobChristensenComedy.com. Check me out.
RobChristensenComedy.com.
Poverty Comedy.
Yeah. PovertyOfComedy.com.
I see. Okay. Yep. Sounds pretty cool since you're poor, right?
That's perfect. Yeah. Oh, also I'm doing stand-up at a coffee shop in Altadena. That's enough information for you, I know.
At a coffee shop.
That's funny.
And I'm doing, on August 16th, come out, it's going to be a great show hosted by Taylor Ketchum at Genghis Cohen right here in Hollywood.
Oh, I've done Genghis Cohen a lot. I love that place.
August 16th. That'll be a great one.
That's cool. And if we go to your website, you have all that listed there?
Yeah, it'll be on there. Find me on the Facebook and the Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. I only got like 35 followers on Twitter. I need some more. So if anyone's listening to this, go find Rob Loves Bagels. At Rob Loves Bagels. I really do. And follow me on there. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's offensive. But it's always interesting.
Yeah, there you go. And what was your last name, Rob?
Christensen.
So you're not Jewish, that's for sure.
No, I'm not Jewish.
You're into bagels, but you're
not
Jewish.
I'm part Jewish.
Yeah.
My grandma was Jewish.
Oh, really?
My best friend's Jewish.
Yeah, but
they had a lot of Jewish girls.
Yeah.
I'm really into Jew, but I'm not Jewish.
Yeah, if you have Christian in your name, you're not Jewish.
Oh, really?
For sure.
Yeah.
Duh.
My name, Christ is in my name. Christ is the first.
Come check me out, too. Next Friday. You're coming, right? Next Friday.
Oh, is it?
It's next Friday. Yeah, where's Downtown Comedy Club.
Okay, you'll have to remind me a few days.
Yeah, Downtown Comedy
Club
next Friday. Be there and buy some drinks and laugh really loud.
Sounds good.
Bring
and if you don't live in L.A., that's a reason for you to come down and visit.
Yeah.
To see Kira. Okay, Rob, thank you so much for joining
us,
man. You're a lot of fun. You know, all the best to you. And hopefully you'll climb out of poverty soon. and then show Kira how to do it.
Whatever. Well,
we'll do it together.
Comedians,
tag team the world.
Okay.
Okay, so that's it for today. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.